So what is that origin of all things?
You ask me something for which I have no words.
Yes, our searching is not searching. We take the origin of everything. Krishna. The Bhagavad Gita called Panditji.
Okay.
Find out the verse. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartat. Just like in this orange, there is water. Very nice, tasteful. How it generates? Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartate. Iti matya bhajante maham buddha bhava samannita.
I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts.
Please, what is it? So as a scientist, what is your opinion upon this?
It is not for me to speak.
You don't speak?
He's a little humble.
So you can take it from us, from the Bhagavad Gita, that God is the origin of everything. Earth, water, yeah. Come on. You can eat?
Yes.
Give me one. Take one. Come on. Yes, come on. Thank you.
He's the youngest one.
How old he is? 1 year?
1 year.
That's nice. He has got teeth?
Few.
Four. God is the source of everything. The vast water has come from the body of God. Just like from your body, a little quantity of water comes out, perspiring. Does it not? So we are limited. So 1 ounce, 2 ounce we can produce. But God is unlimited. He can produce by perspiration millions of oceans. This is our understanding. God is unlimited. We are limited. We are also producing. so many things through our body. Similarly, God is unlimited. His body has got unlimited potency. So everything comes from the body of God. This is our simple understanding. God is the origin of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhava matta sarvam pravartta. Iti matya bhajante imang buddha bhavu samanya. One who understands this philosophy, he becomes a devotee. Buddha, he is in full knowledge.
Still. Yeah. So bitter.
Ours are still green.
Yeah.
Not yet ripened. Yes. September they'll be ready.
If you want I can clean it and cut it.
No. Just I'm asking. Come on. Another gentleman was to come here.
Yes. Yeah, there's one man coming later.
When?
He's expected in about 5 minutes.
Oh.
Oh, at 7.
Sir Papa, I wanted to ask you that in your lectures you continually speak of the 10 samskaras that children should have.
Well, that is not possible.
Oh.
That is not possible. It is very difficult. One sanskar, that initiation sanskar, and marriage sanskar, two, three sanskars can be done. Not the 10. It's not allowed. The circumstances will not allow. It is very difficult.
One thing that Malcolm and I were talking about before was he was lamenting that our educational system nowadays in the West, material education, practically spoils the child to understand spiritual life.
Why in the West, everybody?
More in the West because the child is more constrained in his molding.
Yeah. The whole defect is that we are missing the goal of life. Therefore, we do not know how to conduct business with the goal of life. At the present moment, in every field, they are missing the goal of life.
They seem oppressed by a weight of number, that there are too many.
No, goal is one.
No, people.
People do not know the goal. That is the defect of modern civilization. Not modern, That is the defect of material existence.
But a number of people over a certain size make a goal by the number of people.
What is that?
When a number of people think a certain way, and then they
make that. You mean no? The number of people make the goal, not of them, but of the number.
Well, unanimous mass opinion usually forms society.
Not mass opinion, not the involvement of the people, but the number of the people.
There are millions and trillions.
Unanimous opinion.
Huh?
By unanimous pursuit of some goal, that becomes the common goal.
Huh?
Fashion.
No, that's what I say.
No, number. That when a number of people become beyond a certain size, that in order for that size to maintain, there becomes a code of written law whose existence is to preserve the number, and it becomes the goal of the people, and it is the goal of number and not of the people. And the people I see,
the people are numberless. Therefore, the goal should be numberless. People are numberless, you cannot count. It's not possible. Therefore, the goal should be also numberless.
Actually, the amount of people in the world has nothing to do with the form of education. Simply, for example, if everyone in the world was Krishna conscious, then where would there be a question of overpopulation? Because there would be harmony throughout society, because the center of the society would be Krishna. But unfortunately, due to the overpopulation, we have so many different goals, different interests, and therefore there's continual clash. So there's nothing against overpopulation as long as people are raised in Krishna consciousness.
Is overpopulation then a more important problem?
For example, even in animal society, there's more animals, there's more insects, there's more birds than human society. But there's no question, they have no starvation, they have no nuclear warfare, because they live as Krishna has meant them to be, as their karma dictates. But in our situation, we are meant to understand Krishna. This is the goal of human life, is to use our developed consciousness to serve God. But unfortunately, since we misuse this for selfish motives, therefore we have descended lower than animals. Therefore, we have not even the simple harmony that animal life has. Therefore, we have mass warfare. Therefore, we have greed, economic distress, and pollution. All these things are caused simply because we have not used our human life for understanding Krishna.
I think what you're saying is, in a sense, is that generally the people are innocent. They grow up and the goals of life are forced on them, actually there's not, that is, the real goal is still missing.
They would say, yes, that there is the number is too many.
The number of goals?
No, the number of people to support a system of return.
Return to the real goal.
To the real goal. They feel oppressed into supporting the number system because it's...
due to the large number of people, is it possible to return all these people to the real goal?
Oh, yes. As there is medicine for certain disease, if in that particular disease the prescribed medicine is given, then the disease will be cured. Is it not? Medical science, they have discovered medicine for a certain type of disease. So if the diseased man takes that medicine particular, then he'll be cured. Similarly, if people take what is the actual goal of life by philosophy and logic, then the goal of life will be won. He must agree to take it, just like the diseased man must agree to take the medicine. Then he is cured.
If a man reaches this maturity of years and leaves a Western school, and he hears the words which say, "Know thyself," may he reject his family ties?
No, there is no question of rejecting or accepting to understand the goal of life. Goal of life is meant for everyone. Maybe a family man or without family, it doesn't matter. Just like eating. Eating is for everyone. It doesn't matter whether he is a family man or not family man. It is essential. Similarly, the goal of life is also essential to know for everyone. It doesn't matter whether he is family man or not family. It doesn't matter.
Is the medicine in the seeking?
Huh?
Is the medicine in the seeking?
Yes, some are seeking, but the medicine is there.
Is looking for the medicine part of the medicine?
Yeah. There is no necessity of looking for it. The medicine is already there. Goal of life. So we have to take information from authority. What is the goal of life? Just like this child. The child, he knows that my father is goal of life or my mother is goal of life. He may walk all over the room. But he knows that ultimately my father is God. Similarly, our goal of life is the Supreme Power. Now, if this child is taken away from this room, he'll cry. He'll not be able to express that he wants the goal of his life, his father and mother. He'll simply cry, miss him. Similarly, our goal of life is the Supreme Father. But because we are missing, we are crying. Here, throughout the universe, throughout the creation, we are simply crying. This is called struggle for existence. But the real goal of life is there is fire, don't allow him to go, there is fire. Now, he doesn't remain there, he comes to the mother, the goal of life. Similarly, we have got our goal of life, a Supreme Father. We are missing that. Simply, one has to know that this is our goal of life. We are searching in vain and so many other goals of life. Nati vidu sartha gatin hi Vishnu. The goal of life is the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Durasayaji mahirathamani. They have missed the goal of life on account of their propensity to become happy within this material world. That is the missing part. He cannot be happy without reaching. The same example, this child cannot be happy without being in the association of the path. If this child is taken away and he is given nice food, he will cry. He will cry. Because the goal of life is missing. Similarly, we are missing the goal of life. Therefore, we are not satisfied in any way in this material. That Bhagavad says, nati vidu sartha gati nivish. This struggle for existence is going on because they do not know that the goal of life is God, Krishna, Vishnu.
If the child is taken from the parents, he will cry, but he will stop. But he will stop when time
again cry.
Has passed.
Again cry.
When time in years pass, he will forget.
Yes.
And the
that forgetfulness is forced. He's not happy.
If he would then, when he is a grown person, recapture or re-feel the link to his reason for being, he must go back in his experience or thought to the point at which he cried, to feel again the feeling of being lost. Mm-hmm. Now, the Western youth seem to have been forced to accept their position, and the position that they have accepted gives them no freedom to go back and find the point at which they felt the experience of the thing they had lost. So in their minds they would say, there is something missing. There is no God. But there is a God. Yet I must find him with my mind. And then they know through the search that it is only through going back through their own years of experience to the point at which they had lost that they will find it. But for the Westerner, it clashes with his total Western heritage, the thing imposed upon him by his centuries, which is that he may not isolate himself from his community in order to go down. And the young people cannot move because this point holds them.
No, the young people, they're moving. They're coming to Krishna consciousness. There is no check because they're Western boy. There is no check. Just like they're all Europeans, Americans. So how they're coming to Krishna? It doesn't matter whether Western, Eastern, natural propensity is the same, either in the East or the West. So it doesn't matter. That is not impediment. Anywhere the science is, just like your physical science, it is as good as in the West as in the East. For the East, there cannot be a different physical science. The same science can be taught in the East and the West.
And the same...
Any science does not depend on East and West understanding. Science is science.
No, I talk not of science, but of education, which...
No, education is different. Education may be wrong or right, but science is always the fact. Two plus two equal to four, that is equally good in East and West. Not that in the Western countries 2 plus 2 will be 5. So similarly, any scientific knowledge, it does not depend on East and West understanding. It is good for everyone. Similarly, to understand the science of God, it does not depend on the Western culture or Eastern culture. One must be serious to understand it. Then it is equally available. Ohituki apratihata. These material impediments cannot check progress in the science of God. Cannot. Apratihata. Without any check. That we are experiencing, that Krishna consciousness did not check anywhere. We have got branches all over the world. Any country, there is no language difficulty. Wherever we chant Hare Krishna, they join Hare Krishna. There is no checking. Even in Africa, they are also chanting Hare Krishna. Even this child will chant. They clap. You have seen that a small child is, I think, he is about 6 months old. So there is no checking. For spiritual understanding, there is no checking. The child, six months old child, clapping. That means he is joined with the system. He is not sophisticated. He is a new child, but automatically. So there is no change.
If science is available to everyone without impediment, then there must be the proper teacher, isn't it? There must be a teacher of the science before it can be learned. That has been a difficulty here. There's been no teachers until...
Everyone gives his own opinion. everyone will say, he will not dare to say that he is speaking right scientifically. He will say, it is my opinion. To avoid any difficulty, he will say, in my opinion, it is this. I think he is speaking of that. There are so many people, and there are so many opinions.
How do we know then what is the real fact? How do we know what is the real fact?
We have to understand it from the real fact. Who knows it? Upadakshanti tad jnanam jnanina tad darshin. Find out that? Tad vidhipani pathena puri prasnena. So we have to approach the real person who has seen. Then you get the right.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. A self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth.
So we have to approach a person who has seen the truth. It is not difficult. Just like if you are suffering from some disease, you have to go to a doctor who knows how to treat. It is the same thing like that.
How do we know he's a good doctor or not? By his credential or?
No. That also. Therefore, it is called sadhu, shastra, guru, bhakya. Three things there are for knowledge. Sadhu, saintly person, shastra, scripture, and guru. So, one statement we have to corroborate with other step. If you accept somebody as guru, then you have to corroborate it whether shastra says that he is guru. Or any saintly person says that he is guru. This is the way. Similarly, when you take a scripture, you have to know it from the spiritual master whether that is actually scripture, whether it is accepted by the saintly person. Sadhu. Similarly, sadhu also. Whether guru says, yes, he is sadhu. Whether shastra says, yes, he is sadhu. There are three things, sadhu, shastra, guru. So to accept one, you have to take the opinion of the other two. Then get the right thing. Just like who is a guru, that is stated in the shastra. Sotriyam brahmanistam, shastra says. Tad-vijñāna-artham sa guru-meva abhigacchet. One must approach a guru. Then the same question comes, who is guru? That is also stated, śrutriyam brahmanistam. He is well-versed in Vedas, knowledge of Vedas, and fully Krishna conscious. He is guru. Just like how to know that here is a medical practitioner before going for treatment, you find out. How do you find out?
Some friend, perhaps?
Anyway, you have to take information. Similarly, guru, according to shastra, his guru, he must be confirmed by sadhu, saintly person, by Shastra, then he is Guru. Sadhu Shastra Guru Vakva Tinete Koriya Yokya.
What's the difference between a sadhu and a guru? Sadhu means its authority.
Guru, it must be a sadhu.
It means previous
achievers. Sadhu means titiksama karmika, sridha sarubhutana, ajata satrava shanta, sadhava sadhu bhushana. Everything, there is definition. Who is sadhu, who is guru?
Yeah.
What is shastra? Everything is there. You have to know it. What is avatar? That is my business, how to know. But there is. Everything is there. Everyone can know it. Sadhava, sadhu. Seven substance of sadhu means devotee. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Abhite sudurachara bhajate imam ananava sadhu eva samantabha. This sadhu, who? Ananava, without any diversion of attention, is completely engaged in my devotional service. Even if he has got some minor defects, still, because he is completely surrendered and engaged in my service, he is sadhu. Sadhu deva samantam. So this is the test of sadhu. Sadhu means he must be devotee. Sadhu does not mean having saffron collar and long beard and doing all nonsense. No. Sadhu means first test is that he is unflinching, without any deviation. Apite sudra bhajate ma ananna bhav. Ananna bhav means he does not want anything except the service of the Lord. That is the qualification of sadhu. Similarly, in other places also, the definition of sadhu is there. Sadhu means titiksava. He is very tolerant. Because a sadhu has to face so many opposing elements and sometimes very offensive, but he has to tolerate. Titiksava. At the same time, karunika, very merciful. The same man who is torturing him, he is trying to convince him about Krishna. That means very merciful. He is not rejecting him. Although he is torturing him, but he is trying to convince him, Krishna. Therefore, karunika. And he is not friend of any particular society or man. Sridha Sarubhutana. He is well-wisher of all living entities. It doesn't matter whether he is Indian, American, or black and white. No, no concern. Or even human being or animal. He is kind to everyone. Friend, well-wisher of everyone. Ajata Satrava, he does not create an enemy. Such, these are the qualifications of sadhu. Shastra means the transcendental literature, not ordinary writings, that is shastra. Just like Bhagavad Gita is shastra. Vedanta Shastra, or Bible, Shastra. Scripture means given by God or His authorized representative. That is Shastra. So Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. And Guru means who is completely devotee of Krishna without any material motive. This is Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. Annabhilashita sunna jnana karma dhanakrita anukullina krishna anushivana.
That unless one performs the proper samskaras for the children, otherwise they will become degraded, they will not follow the regulative principles and such, they become unwanted population.
Yes, in material world we have got so many obligations.
But for example, in devotee families, if we perform the proper principles in raising
no,
children...
No, your function is very simple. You become Krishna conscious, and train your children, Krishna consciousness.
But there's always a chance that they may not as well.
Well, that chance is also to you also. Maya is always there. But our duty should be like that. You become Krishna conscious and raise your children to that standard. Then it is all right. Just like we are teaching in Dallas. There is nothing extraordinary. The children are there. They are learning how to read, how to write, at the same time rising early in the morning, attending Mangala Arati, joining in the Sankirtan, playing Mridanga, dancing, taking prasadam. That's all. By such training, automatically they will be Krishna conscious. And then all your duties are complete. If you make him Krishna conscious, then your duty is finished.
Can you make a child Krishna conscious without believing yourself? Can you make a child Krishna conscious if you yourself don't believe in Krishna consciousness?
If you do not believe, if the father does not believe, you mean to say?
If the father does not feel,
he says, yes.
His head.
Well, everything is individual. Father is individual, then child is individual. There's a Hiranyakashipu.
Yes, but can a father impose on a child something which he does not believe himself?
No, Krishna consciousness is transcendental position. Once one gets a little touch with Krishna consciousness, then he will make progress. Just like the wick in a fire. Firework is being, what is called? Pataka?
Firecracker.
The long wheel. You just set fire. It will come little, and when it comes, thum! It is like this. You just set up the fire. And then one day he will become fully Krishna conscious.
The knowledge is absolute, it works with anyone.
Eh?
The knowledge is absolute, it works with anyone.
And even if he does not complete, whatever he has done, that is complete. Because it is spiritual, it is not material. In material world, suppose if you want to do something, you have to make the background. And while doing the background, if you could not make further progress, everything is finished. But spiritual work is not like that. From the very beginning, whatever you are doing, that is asset. That is to your credit. Because nothing is lost. Sarvam apiyasya dharmasya trayate bhavato bhayam. There will be little done in spiritual consciousness that can save you from the greatest danger. How such big man, minister, could accept such position of a mendicant and leave? Na, gopi bhavara samrita dilahari kallur. So they got a better thing. They dipped into the ocean of the gopis' ecstasy. They are always thinking of the gopis' activities in Krishna. Gopi bhavara samrita bilahari kallola magna moho bande rupa sanatana yajibho sri jiva rupa. So unless one gets a better thing, he cannot give up the less important thing. So when unless one gets the better thing, better humor, better mellow, they cannot give up this material engagement. Therefore, to get that better thing, it is advised the part of your hard labor you offer to Krishna. This is called karma yoga. You remain in your karma, but nirbandha Krishna sambandhi, be touched with Krishna consciousness movement. And spend at least 50% for Krishna. Then gradually it comes to just like the Goswamis came. So this is the policy. Otherwise, for Krishna consciousness, there is no need. Everything Krishna is supplying. Madhavendra Puri installed the deity. Now, for months, years together, only festival was going. But another good example is that if somebody is in business and if he spends for Krishna, that is a very good example for the karmis. Because everyone else is not going to stop their karmi mentality. So this is an example that you are engaged in material, now spend like this. There is another preaching, loka sangraha. This is called loka sangraha. To collect ordinary man for Krishna consciousness. Just like Janak Raja, he was a king, but great saintly person.
Lord Ramachandra's father?
No, father-in-law.
Father-in-law.
The great Mahajans, out of the 12, Janak Raja is one. Swayambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kopila, Kumara, Manu. Janaka, Bhishma, Prahlada, Boli, Vyasaki, Vaya. This 12. Brahma, Sambhu, Nara, Muni, Sambhu, Lord Shiva, Sambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kopil, Kopilde, Kumar, Chatusam, Kumar, Manu. Manu, then Jana, Bhishma, Prahlad, then Sukhdev Goswami, Bali Maharaj, and Jamara, Bhayam. So these are 8 Mahajans. Out of them, Narada is Brahmachari, Brahma is Giriyastha. Sambhu is Giyastha. Then Kopila Brahmachari, Kumara Brahmachari. Then Manu Giyastha, Janakraja Giyastha, Bhishma Brahmachari. Then Sukhdev Goswami Brahmachari. Then Bali Maharaj Giyastha, Jamaraja Giyastha. There are Giyastha Brahmachari. It doesn't matter. Everyone can become Mahajan by his example of service to Krishna. It doesn't matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also never said that one has to become Brahmachari. No. He himself was Grihastha. So there is no difference. Sambhu, Narada, Sambhu, Kapila, Kumara.
His argument in the newspaper by other people complaining against Zainer's argument. Not members of our, but other people, Englishmen. Zainer is a fool, this and that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. He's a fool.
We'll bring him up. They're in the Times, the letters to the editor.
And we have directly called him fool last day.
But other people are also criticizing. They find other things in his argument that are not. They say he has to realize Bhagavad Gita before he can criticize it.
Yeah. He does not realize, he does not know anything. You can read this letter.
Oh.
It is here. It is very interesting.
To Zainer, this one?
Hmm.
Or to Alistair?
Gerard.
Hardy.
reply.
We've also invited him to come here.
No one defended him in the newspaper, Observer.
So other protests have been published in the paper?
Yeah, I'll bring them up.